on today's Compassion Radio.
But then when I started going to Africa, I realized that I always wanted to live out those values, not just be purely educational, yes, but to live out those values that we believe in so strongly, the value of the individual starting in the womb. Over there in Africa, I just found opportunities to live out those things.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
When you do it for the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. Hello, friends, and welcome to Compassion Radio, the daily journal of God's work through God's people all around God's earth. That scripture we just quoted a moment ago, of course, comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 40. And friend, I don't know about you, I can only speak for myself. That's a verse that I have pondered on countless times over the course of my life. Today, we welcome a very special guest to the program who's truly dedicated her life in service to others. It's also quite a blessing to know that today's guest was a longtime listener to this very radio ministry, long before we ever had the chance to meet her. Let me hand it over now to Bram Floria to open up what should be a delightful and informative discussion.
Today on Compassion Radio, we have the distinct honor of welcoming a friend who is new to us, but we didn't realize she had actually been an old friend of the ministry because, like you as a Compassion Radio listener, she's been tuned in to the things that God is doing around the world by tuning into this program. And I'm so thankful that she made the effort to cross that divide and no longer be anonymous to us. In fact, Louise Alar spent time with us at Dr. Nelson's memorial service and shared her story of how God had brought her to a place of real mission and ministry. And we're going to tell a lot of her story in the next few segments of Compassion Radio. Louise Alar, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you, Bram, and your audience.
Of course, we can't start this program without bringing attention to something that's delightful about you that I learned when I sat down for a meal with you, and that is your accent. It is unique and European in nuance, but it's not from Europe. You are born and raised in what part of North America?
Well, I was born and raised in Quebec, Canada, so I'm French-Canadian.
And welcome to sunny California, where you now live. Now, how long have you been in California?
Since 1978, so a long time, really.
And your career, as you expected you would be doing, was going to be in nursing. Now, you started as a pediatric nurse, is that correct?
Yes, I studied in a large pediatric hospital in Montreal. I've been wanting to be a pediatric nurse since age 8, and I just continued that goal and that path, and I accomplished that, so it was great.
Now, Norm and Cher have run across people like you a number of times in their travels, of people that had a needed profession and skill that God then put to use in ways that were truly unique, because there's not many people that will cross the divide to go to places that just can't afford someone like you to serve them. Now, there are normal ways you could go become a medical missionary or join an organization that places you somewhere else, but you had a few other skills that God put to use as well. In fact, you went into hospital administration early on in your career, so you understood how health care works, not just how people are nursed. And that was a profound bit of knowledge and expertise that God was going to put to use in the years to come. So tell me about that progress of you being a nurse with a passion for pediatrics to becoming a director of medical services in the place where you were working.
It started really in California, because in Quebec, I had two young children. In fact, I worked part-time, so my career did not expand a lot in Quebec, except that after 2 years of nursing, I ended up as a head nurse of a skilled nursing facility, a 35-bed floor.
Very good.
Then when I came to California, I was looking for work, so I did 2 years in pediatrics as a charge nurse. And then after that, we moved to Mission Viejo, and I was looking for employment through a headhunter agency that I did not even know was there looking for work for me. I ended up with the job at Hogue Hospital in Newport Beach as the 24-hour head nurse for their unit for 4.5 years. Wow. So that was really a great experience as an administrator.
Now, a 24-hour schedule sounds like you didn't get much sleep.
Yeah, well, they call this 24-hour responsibility.
I understand. But it does mean you're on call.
Right.
Like any drop
right.
of the hat, you are ready to go.
You're right.
Now, that's got to be good training for missions work. After those years of being a hospital administrator and working with teams of people, God started stirring in your heart about the disparity between those who have so much wealth of medical services available to them, like we do in the West, and those countries that have zero opportunity for health care. Yeah. Now, I don't want to not acknowledge that we have issues with our health care in America. In fact, it's one of the hottest topics in the media right now. And we're very disturbed about the fear that we have about not being able to get access to the health care that we need if something really goes drastically wrong for us. And it's a
right.
hot topic in our politics. Yet,
sure.
we do know that if push comes to shove, even if we have to go bankrupt, there's a hospital down the street that will take us in by law, and they will give us treatment. They're not going to leave us sitting on the curb. So that is a certain kind of luxury. Even though it's an economic burden, it's still a luxury that we have in this country to ride an ambulance and be treated in a hospital. But that's not the case in most of the world, and you noticed that. So tell me about
You're
that
right.
progress in your heart and mind.
Well, I probably knew that, but knowing it personally in the field, it makes a much greater impact on you, and it moved my heart to do something about it. So I started going to Africa in 2003 in the Congo, and then I returned to Uganda and Kenya in 2007 and 2008 in Uganda again. I was involved in medical outreach. That means a team of medical people, a doctor and several nurses, let's say, maybe five or six people, would conduct a medical outreach. We would go to a village and treat the people there that wanted to be seen that day. I got to see hundreds of people during those medical outreach, during at least two trips there where we conducted several. And I just realized that, okay, we're there for one day, providing mm-hmm. services for one day. And these people are just, like, deprived of medical services year-round. So how could I offer something just for one day? So after that, it was just very important for me to have goals that would improve medical care to the area. And I was specifically interested in improving the care to mothers and children. So maternal child health has always been very primary.
Now, how does this compare with Doctors Without Borders that deal with conflict medical issues and other kinds of general world development issues that the UN might tackle or governments? What makes it unique when someone like you, a person of faith, steps into the gap to provide these kind of services yeah. and to dream a dream that has not been dreamt before?
Well, the way it came out for me, you know, I was one person wanting to do something. So God starts where you're at, and the gifts that you have, my gifts, I suppose, were nursing and administration. So I went to see the Department of Health Services, and I said, I want to open a clinic here, a maternal child health clinic. But they realized that I was not living there. And how could I offer services if I don't even live there? So they decided to evaluate this for a couple of days. And then they called me back and they said, okay, what about helping a little hospital here? It's already built and staffed and everything to do cesarean sections, for example, mm-hmm. in the hospital. Because at the moment, the women that need a cesarean section emergency, they have to travel far. Far means about 20, 25 miles when there are bad roads. So that's far.
And often even without a vehicle, too.
That's far. What happens is that you lose baby or mother or both because of lack of access. Emergency cesarean section to save lives has to be done immediately.
Yes.
And so, therefore, they were losing too many babies. They already had an operating room that was built with USAID funds in the year 2000, but it was built, it's kind of sad in a sense. It was built to do sterilization. That was the purpose, sterilization for men. They didn't go along with it. They were not able to convince the population to accept that method.
What a surprise.
And so, therefore, it stood there for years and years unused, a beautiful operating room that was unused because it was not equipped to do other things,
yeah.
like, for example, cesarean section. And so this is what we did. That was the first step.
You're kind of seeing a vision problem here, that the tools are in place, but there's no vision for what could be done with the tools that are sitting there when the last idea didn't amount to much. This birthed a new calling for you, and now it's known as Alliance for Life International. Explain how this opportunity in front of you and this spark of inspiration within you became what is now Alliance for Life.
Well, Alliance for Life, you know, is 20 years old. It was founded in 1998, and it was purely educational. So we were a pro-life organization. We were just wanting to establish the value of the human being in the womb and the dignity of the preborn child. Mm. And I even wrote my thesis on defending the rights of the preborn child. Mm. So that was the whole emphasis was educational. But then when I started going to Africa, I realized that I always wanted to live out those values, not just be purely educational, yeah, but to live out those values that we believe in so strongly, the value of the individual starting in the womb. Over there in Africa, I just found opportunities to live out those things. The Pregnancy Resource Center came. Here we have more than 3,000 in the U.S., much more than that, actually, and it's growing. But over there, they didn't have that. Yeah. So a young woman was very prone to have an abortion, for example. So I started to build on that.
Great stuff for you on today's Compassion Radio broadcast, and we'll get right back to the interview in just a moment. Friends, if you're not receiving our monthly Compassion Radio newsletter, you are truly missing out. Please contact us and add your name to our growing list. And don't forget about our vision team. If you haven't joined yet, now is the time. Your monthly commitment of even a few dollars a month goes a long way. And remember, you're helping the Word and Compassion of Christ to reach the farthest corners of the globe. Reach out to us by phone at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail, we're at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can always find us online at CompassionRadio.com. Come on by and drop us a line today. It would bless us so much to hear from you. Let's get back now to the program.
Actually, the first project, though, was the operating room, the facilitating for the hospital to do cesarean section. Mm. And that project lasted a couple of years, plus we had to fix the doctor's house, so that's 3 years, and then trying to find a doctor. Well, that's the system that took care of that. But we went through three doctors. But finally, the Lord made a way. The Lord made a way.
It's amazing.
That's another long story. The Lord makes a way, but it takes time sometimes for these things to be accomplished. But in 2014, they started to use it for C-section.
So that dream of yours, born almost a dozen years ago, perhaps, of being practical with your theology. Side note here, we are firm believers that there is no true theology without compassion and action. We don't talk ideas about God. We discover who God is by serving Him the way He calls us to serve Him. And that defines everything about our theology. It's the encounter with God that defines theology, not our ideas about God and then trying to force Him into our own box. So you did that. Yeah. You pursued Him. You found out where He was doing His work His way. And you realized that He was presenting you with a problem that needed to be figured out. What a gift is that God trusts you enough to solve a problem. And now, 3 years later, how is that particular project going?
Well, okay, so the Buenge Health Center 4 is, you know, that project is completed. And when I went late in 2014, the nurse that received me says, oh, it's been a long time since we've had a mother dying surrounding birth.
Amen. You know,
it's been a long time. Amen. And she explained how the program was working. There were three doctors. Since then, they had built a hospital nearby, and I said to myself, there will be doctors in that hospital, and when they discover this operating room, this is a jewel in the middle of nowhere, they will want to use it, and this is exactly what happened. The doctors came to that other hospital, they discovered the operating room, and they started taking turns, like 8-hour shift, to be on call for the cesarean section in case if it was needed. So this is how God met the need, you know. So that was exciting. And then feeling secure that this was taken care of and this was used, then I moved on to other things, obviously.
Yes, you would.
And I guess I would. In 2012, that's earlier than that, but as soon as the hospital was equipped and everything, we opened a pregnancy resource center in Kampala. And then we opened several programs to answer the need of the pregnant women in unplanned pregnancy or distressing pregnancy. This is how we call it, distressing pregnancy. We have an adopt-a-mom program.
Interesting. Who adopts these moms?
Yeah, most of the time it's someone from the U.S. that will give like $50 a month, and that will permit this young mother to go back to school and or start a business. And so that will support her and her baby and pay for the schooling. But we do not want these young women to establish them single-parent households like they do so much in the U.S. We discourage that. We want the child and the mom to be integrated in their larger family. After all, this is such an important value in Africa, the value of family. We want to encourage that. And we work through family reintegration for this young woman to be integrated back in her family because she was rejected because of her pregnancy.
Yes.
But now they see the example of the Alliance helping her for free, actually, offering free services of counseling. We're following these young women up to 18 months to 2 years. At least, you know, we see them. They're even welcome after that, but usually that's essential that we follow them for a couple of years. And during this time, we want them to learn a skill so they could support themselves and their baby, not to be independent, but to be of use to the family as well, not to be perceived as a burden.
Yeah, it's developing a godly sense of interdependence. Now,
yes.
I understand that in that part of Africa, especially Sub-Saharan, is dealing with the repercussions of a huge death rate from AIDS and other medical attacks on their families.
Yes.
So many families are destroyed through war and through disease. And so you're saying that not necessarily trying to force mothers who might have been abused or abandoned by men, but to find some arrangement that equals family. So that the child has more than one person to depend upon and has relationships that will extend. And you mentioned something important, Louise, that when you come to stand beside a young woman who has been culturally rejected by her peers because of the stigma of unwanted or unmarried pregnancies, that when you stand as a strong person with them and give them dignity, give them a place and a status and an honor with you as an organization, the community takes note of that, and it can shift people's perspectives on the value of the person standing in front of them.
You're right.
And reorientates their compass toward the kind of compassion that Christ has. So what's been the effect of that? How many women are being reached now, and how is that changing the dynamics of the children and the villages in which they live?
Well, for example, in the beginning, usually the young woman is isolated, but she finds way back to her family because we really do not have the means to support this young woman and pay all her rent and all her food and everything. You know, we do not have the means to do that. So we encourage the young woman to be reintegrated to her family. Usually what happens is they come to the big city. And they kind of, you know, disperse themselves
and lose contact and relationship.
Yes. And then they end up pregnant. And then they don't even want to go back home.
Right.
Okay. But home is the village. So we work with them. And then eventually they find themselves back with their family and where the family offers lodging and, a place to stay for this young woman and accept the young child that is coming. And usually the family, again, they see the example that we provide and the value that we attribute to this child, the preborn child, and the woman, and it really transfers to the family. The family says, okay, well, maybe we could do our part. Okay, maybe it's not the end of the world. You know, we could help. That's what we have seen.
Yeah. In a world of death certainty, of you are this, you are nothing but that, you come back in with a question. Maybe we could see this differently. Maybe this child is not a punishment. Maybe this young woman has worth and value and dignity and will return to a place of honor. Maybe.
Yeah.
And these are the kind of questions that come from the heart of God, introducing us softly to a redemptive worldview. So I'm very proud of you for helping to bring that message of redemption of families back to where it counts. And it tells me that obviously God was stirring in your heart about the issue of the dignity of human life. It's been so undignified in our culture, the way we treated women and those children that they carry. People are expendable in our Western culture, literally.
Right.
So you've turned the tide on that, and God said, okay, I'm going to give you a place where you can literally see this work itself out in the human heart and in the village, in the community, and in a country. For that one fact, Louise, we are very, very proud of you at Compassion Radio. You hold for us the very heart of what we've been working on for the past 20 or 30 years as a ministry. How do we get people excited about God redeeming circumstances in a way that transform families and countries and the history of humanity? It's really possible. I just want to hold that up for our listeners and say, there's nothing magical about what Louise did. Louise turned to the Lord and said, what can I do? And God helped her do an inventory of the things that she had. And she received that call and said, okay, I'll go. She went. And what she discovered there told her how God had uniquely equipped her for the task at hand. And that's one of the spiritual lessons I want to leave with this particular part of the program, is that God equipped you, Louise, to do what you did in unique ways, through your experience, through your administration, through your medical training. But there's more than that.
Yes, indeed, there is more of that, and we're going to hear more of Louise Alar's fascinating story on tomorrow's Compassion Radio, so don't miss it. Got a special word from Cher Nelson forthcoming, but right now, allow this to minister to your heart and spirit. Here's Morning Song.
Who being in very nature God would not grant equality with him, God made himself nothing and took on a servant's nature.
Found in appearance as man, he humbled himself, was obedient, even to death on the cross.
At Jesus' name every knee shall bow, in heaven and in all the earth. To the Father's glory we shall cry, Jesus is Lord. At Jesus' name every knee shall bow, Father's glory we shall cry, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Christ has been exalted by God to the highest place, and given a name as exalted above every other name. At Jesus' name every knee shall bow, in heaven and in all the earth.
To the Father's glory we shall cry, Jesus is Lord.
At Jesus' name every knee shall bow, in heaven and
that's Morning Song with Carmen Christie here on Compassion Radio. Before we close for the day, here's a word from Cher Nelson.
This is Cher Nelson with a special word for those of you who are actively involved with supporting the broadcast ministry of Compassion Radio. You are our heroes. As you know, the cost of airtime is staggering and becomes more so each year. We're also grateful to each of you who give to our compassion projects as well. Without you, we could not be the hands and feet of Jesus in these difficult places. But those of you who stand with us in the financial support of the ministry, especially you who have pledged a monthly gift, you are the backbone of everything we do, and we are grateful and blessed by your understanding of the need. Please give at compassionradio.com or call 1-800-868-2418. 2478 or mail your gift to Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's CompassionRadio.com or 1-800-868-2478 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And I pray for blessings and the joy of service in your life.
Thank you, Cher. And to you, our dear listener, we so appreciate your partnership with us here at Compassion Radio. Reach out to us by phone at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail, we're at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can always find us online at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.